to Self-Proclaimed Intellectual.
You've just got a smile and hang out with intelligent people.
Welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals. You just heard that, but I'll say it again. This is a...
It's brand recognition.
Mini-sode. Is that what you decided on?
I like it. I think that... Do you think that's cool?
Mini-sode or mini-cast? I don't know. What are you... Mini-sode?
You know what? We'll fight it out.
Minnesota?
Minnesota. See, yeah, that does sound... Mini-cast. I do like mini-cast, because podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast. But then mini-cast. Episode...
Episode. It's a mini-cast mini-sode.
We're going to have some internal discussion on this okay. Before you post
this. We'll run it by the board. So I'm gonna intro this a little bit because it'll probably pretty much be the only talking I do this whole time.
We'll see.
Okay. This is a mini castode about finances. So this is not gonna be a complete podcast with three segments. It's basically gonna be one about a couple just different questions we received.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so we're just gonna jump right in there.
Go for it.
No intros, no nothing. No, just we're just gonna go for it.
Please do.
Blow your mind. And there's somebody's, are they putting new shingles on?
on our building, right?
Yeah, I think somebody's working on the roof.
On our office?
There was some leakage, so we having something patched.
Some leakage of knowledge.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. All right, so here's our first one. This is a question from Tim Mulland, all right, for Travis. He sent it to me, but this is for Travis. Anything financial is for Travis. All right. I would like to hear about separate or joint checking accounts among married people, pros, cons, and how to divide bills equally. What is fair when one person makes more than the other? And how do couples with separate accounts save for big ticket items like a house when the earnings scale is off kilter? So, okay. You know, just kind of a personal finance thing. And, you know, I'll be interested to listen to this too, what you say, because, you know, it's kind of similar to what we do. Kind of a separate account thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is it good? Is it bad? All those kind of ideas.
Sure. So for anyone that does not know, I'm super interested in finance. It's a big something that I've invested a lot of knowledge in.
Yep.
And I like to believe a lot of my friends kind of recognize me as an expert. You know, I'm not a certified financial planner or anything, but a lot of people come to me for advice and think that I'm really knowledgeable, yep. And I'd like to think so too. So hopefully this will give you some answers on that, or at least another opinion.
Okay.
My wife and I split everything down the middle.
Okay.
And we have a lot of shared accounts as well. In fact, most things are shared. So what we do...
Now, by shared, do you mean you both have access or you both input into?
We both have access. It's both. We both have okay. access into everything.
Okay.
My wife has her own spending money and I have my own.
Okay.
But she can see the money that I'm spending and I can see the money okay. that she's spending. And then most things, everything we contribute to together,
okay.
including her spending money, will partially come out of my check and vice versa.
Okay.
Okay, so how we have our account set up, and it sounds a little bit complicated because when I say you need, you know, five bank accounts, a lot of people go, dude, that's what? What are you talking about?
Yes.
But I think that it helps you understand exactly where your money is and okay. how much you have in each source. So we have five accounts in our main bank. We have an emergency fund, which is only for nightmare scenarios. You know, you lose a job, it's money to live on.
Okay.
An appliance goes out that you didn't expect, it's to buy a new one.
Okay.
A car breaks down, it's for repairs. It's okay. for things that you, you know, can't predict and that just happen to you.
Okay.
Okay. So we have probably 3 full months of expenses in there.
Okay.
So when you're doing your budget, you know, if it costs you $3,000 a month to live, then you should have between $9,000 and $18,000 in your emergency fund.
Okay.
You can bias yourself towards the low end if you're dual income because you're less likely to, you know, both lose your jobs yes. at the same okay. time.
Yep.
Or, you know, you can bias it to the high end if one of you is in a really volatile industry yeah. or something like that.
Okay.
Okay. But 3 to 6 months is generally accepted. So we have a separate account that we put that money in and it just sits there.
Okay.
In our case, it's a money market account, so it's just like a savings account, but it earns a little extra interest.
Okay.
It's still accessible at the drop of a hat. I could go get that money right now.
So are you going to get into what is it, a percentage that you both put into it of your checks? Or do you put the exact same amount?
It's a percentage. Percentages are probably the easiest way to do everything.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in just a sec. That's a good question.
I know.
So then we have an extra savings account, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's where we would save for things like a new car that we wanted or a house that we were saving for together or a big purchase we were saving for together.
Okay.
So once we've got our emergency fund filled up, we're going to start contributing towards our savings account.
Okay.
We wouldn't contribute to the savings if we didn't have a full emergency fund. That would be priority one. So we're going to build that savings account. In my wife and I's case, we have an upper limit on that equal to our emergency fund. I'll just share with you. So we have a $10,000 emergency fund.
Okay.
And if we at some point hit $10,000 in our extra savings, then we'll start channeling that money to something else, probably towards paying down our house.
Okay.
So we have an emergency fund for emergencies, a separate savings account for fun things, for vacations, for, you know, TVs or games or whatever we want that's above and beyond that.
Okay.
Okay. For most normal recurring monthly expenses, we have a shared bills account. That's anything that's used by the both of us. Okay. That's big things from our house down to little things like when we go out to eat. We'll put it on that. Groceries, we share. So that's in our bills account.
Yeah.
Utilities, you know, rent, whatever is going to be out of our bills account.
Okay.
Okay.
Toilet paper.
That's right.
Yes.
We both use it. Not at the same time.
You share it?
Yeah. She uses one side.
Interesting.
And this just got really, really gross. Very interesting. But it saves a lot of money.
Do you want to offshoot on toilet paper real quick?
I'm not going to shoot off on toilet paper.
Okay, never mind. It's really interesting, though.
Oh, like just a comment?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, you know, I was listening to somebody. I think we might have talked about this before. I was listening to somebody the other day. I was talking about toilet paper and how ridiculous it is because we use a dry piece of paper to clean off a very dirty spot.
Uh-huh.
So if, let's say you went outside and picked up a piece of dog poop and threw it away. Would you wash your hands with soap and water, or did you just rub it off with a dry paper towel?
Sandpaper, yeah.
You know? So why do we just rub it off with a dry piece of paper, and we would not do that to our hands?
Yeah.
That's not sanitary.
Yeah.
So why do we do that to our butts?
Huh. So are you a fan of the bidet?
No, it was a lead into using flushable wipes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, like baby style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems expensive, though. It seems like we're going the wrong way here.
So maybe a bidet. I don't know. It was just an interesting thought that I never thought about, that it is not sanitary. I wouldn't wash my hands with a dry paper towel.
Yeah, yeah. Here's another interesting one. Toilet paper is an indicator of economic health because it's something that you literally wipe your butt with and then throw away.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have a lot of expendable income, then you're going to buy, you know,
cheap
single ply cardboard toilet paper. But yeah, so nice toilet paper is a luxury. It's an indicator of economic health.
Sweet. So does it work backwards? If I buy nice toilet paper, does it make me richer?
It does. It does actually.
I'm doing it right now. I'm gonna go buy some toilet paper.
That's what like, you know, rappers refer to as paper stacks.
Okay.
Toilet paper stacks.
Wow. I don't listen to rap though.
That's why you're poor. really? Okay, so we're back to accounts.
Yep.
We have an emergency fund, a savings account, a shared bills account, and then we each have a personal checking account. And that's for fun. In my wife and I's case, we also lump like her gas for her car into her account if she wants to get a haircut or, you know, personal grooming or whatever.
Yeah.
And also fun things. So things that we're kind of expending alone, like I'm not going to – a haircut for me is not a my wife and I event, so it's going to come out of my money.
Yes.
Spending, you know, to buy something that I want is – for me.
Okay. And so that's the account that gives you a little more leeway for your own personal belief is in.
That's right.
I don't care about my hair. I'll just shave it with my scissors
because
I want to save up for
if you want to save up for something,
new intake manifold.
Then you can.
Okay.
And if you don't, then you can spend it, you know? And that's the thing. So my wife loves that system. She told me recently, and I was very complimented that she said that she liked it, cuz you know exactly what everything's for.
Yeah.
You get a sense of, you know, so you look at our account and you see, you know, X number of $1,000 and you go, yeah, but what about this and this and this? this breaks it up and it says, yeah. we have this for emergencies, we have this for fun, you have this for walking around money, and we have this for paying our regular stuff.
And it's trial and error, and you put those accounts together, and then you get to something in the middle of the month, and you say, oh, well, which account is this going to? And you just talk about it, and you work through it. It's not going to all work out perfectly.
That's right. And the biggest thing is sometimes going to be, you know, well, what's a personal expense versus what's a group expense? But overall, if you talk about it, then you're going to solve those things pretty quickly. The last thing on this, you asked how to divide it if income is, is skewed. And that's my wife and I's case as well. I do everything by percent. So in my case, it's something like out of both my and my wife's paychecks, 50% goes to, bills that are recurring monthly. So it all goes into that same pot.
Okay.
And then 10% or whatever is going to go into savings. If our emergency fund is not full, it'll go there. If it is full, it'll go into those extra savings.
Okay.
So 50% into bills and 10% into savings, and then 10% into, her account or 10% into my account. And either way, I use the same block of percentages for every one of our paychecks.
Okay.
That way, 50% of my income is contributed to our living expenses.
Yeah.
50% of hers, etc.
Now, I would assume. And I'm not placing this on anybody I know or anything, but I assume there's a lot of couples that this is going to run into some personal issues. Like I assume you're okay with it being percent. And even if your percents are a higher monetary amount, you're okay with that. And you're not going to say to her, well, I feel that my percent for my personal funds should be slightly more because I make more, so I feel there's some of the finance stuff comes down to the relationship with the couple.
It does. And
because if I make more and I feel that, therefore, I deserve more of a personal benefit from it,
right?
That could create some issue. Do you then change percentages between us?
I think it's probably hard if someone has operated on that basis. But to me, it's always been what's mine is yours, right? Yeah. And what's hers is mine, and we're a team. And there is a high amount of trust that goes into this. I'm able to see everything that she spends money on. I think the benefits of that far outweigh the costs.
Yeah.
That shared trust versus the loss of privacy.
Trust / non-judgment, because there's stuff that I'm sure I would see my wife spend money on and just think, ugh, that could have been put somewhere better.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. And I do that because I do a lot of the budgeting and stuff. I'm kind of the finance guy. I love it.
Yeah.
So I see my wife's balance dropping and I'm like, she spent how much on what? But she's never had to pull shared money to pay for her gas or anything. It's her money. She can do whatever she wants to do with it. Yeah. And I think as long as you have set the percentages right, which should happen in a shared conversation between the two of you, where you're equal partners and you discuss it, and come to a conclusion. As long as the percentages are right, we've never had a problem with it. We've never felt like we were slighted. I've never felt like I was slighted because I make more.
Yeah.
I've always been able to have some money for myself if I needed it.
Interesting.
So there's that. I'll post like a screenshot of how we set ours up just so it's easier. You can reference it. A
screenshot of your bank accounts?
I'll blur out the numbers. In addition, while we're talking about accounts, my wife and I both have a 401k and an IRA. Those are definitely funded differently because the 401ks are drawn straight from what we earn, straight off the top, and I'm not going to try to justify those and balance them out. So my 401k is the bulk of our retirement investments. My wife's is there, but it's smaller.
Okay.
And there you go.
I don't have retirement.
Man, you've got a 403B,
I got my CAPERS. What's that?
CAPERS?
CAPERS is the teacher's. Kansas teachers.
I don't know what that stands for, man. I need to research this. KPERS. Huh.
it's our retirement. They say that when they already send us our stuff out, they say it should be 1/3 of the pie. We should have our CAPERS. We should have our
Social Security and then whatever personal savings. You
have your personal retirement.
Yeah. So. Okay. Okay.
I've never had an IRA before.
Oh man. Well, we got to get you started, buddy. Okay, well, thanks for the question, Tim. I'll post some stuff on how we do it just so you can see. It may take an adjustment to get into this zone.
Oh, yeah.
But it makes it really easy once you're there.
Once you get there. Hi, Tim. I know Tim. We should just pretend like we're talking to him.
Be like, Tim, how you doing, buddy?
So, Tim, the new ESC you got on your Slick, is it 6-cell compatible? Or did you go with 8-cell for that? He's an RC guy.
Oh, that's interesting, Tim. Cool. I'm glad you made that. That sounds like the right decision.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
we got one more thing, right?
Yeah, yes, okay. And this will be a quick one. I had a question from somebody, Dustin Kaler, a friend of mine, and he wanted to know, what's the difference between a deficit and a debt? And this is something that's really great in the, like, this is something you can apply personally, but even more so on a political level.
Yeah, I was going to say, this. When I read that, I don't know if he specified or not which one, but for me, it'd be interesting to hear this on the government scale.
Okay, yes. So... it's an important distinction, and it's a good thing for companies too. I often, whenever my company does their quarterly earnings reports, mm-hmm. I write up a summary of that for laymen, you know, so they don't have to read the reports. And a lot of people find that really helpful.
Yeah,
this is one of those things that's like a lot of people don't understand, but it's really pretty simple once you look at it.
And that's not your job, though, right?
No, it's not. That's something that I love to do.
Okay.
So a deficit versus a debt. And you'll hear a lot about the federal deficit and the federal debt, okay? So a deficit, picture a deficit like a hose with a certain flow rate of water. A deficit is, as time goes by, the difference in money. So if you, on a monthly basis, are spending $100 more than you make, you have a $100 budget deficit.
Okay.
On a month-to-month basis. So it would look like something like this. It would be X dollars per time. $100 per month is a deficit.
Yeah.
A debt versus, you know, a debt instead of being like a hose is more like a pool. It's sitting there. You can add to it or take away from it. That's the deficit. So if you have a deficit, it will add to your overall debt. That one isn't time delimited. A debt is just what it is. So the federal debt is, you know, $17 trillion.
So am I wrong in saying that your debt covers your deficit? If I keep having a monthly deficit, I'm going to have to get that money somewhere else, and so I borrow it, and that creates my debt?
Borrowing money would add to your debt. Okay. Yeah. So if you take out a $10,000 loan, then you just basically take a gallon of water and you drop it into your pool. But in the amount of $10,000.
That adding to that debt, do most people, or does the government add to the debt because of the deficit?
Yes, that's definitely true. So whether you're a government and you spend more than you collect in tax revenue or exports or whatever, or you're a person and you spend more, you know, on food and rent and utilities and whatever else than you make, then it's going to add to your debt over time.
Okay.
So two ways to close off a debt. One is to flip the deficit and make it positive, okay? To where you're making $100 per month.
And placing that on
and
your debt.
And you're shoveling water out of the pool instead of putting it in.
Yeah.
Or you can take a lump sum. If you get $10,000 in cash and you pay it down towards your car loan, then that reduces your debt. It's a one-time thing.
Okay.
So I hope that's clear enough. Yeah, a debt is a pool. A deficit is a stream, a flow. Deficit is time limited. A debt is just
the deficit is the hose that is pouring into your pond.
That's right. Your pond of fungus infested nasty debt. So I hope that clears that up.
Yeah.
Pay attention for those terms because you'll probably hear them quite a bit.
There is a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, that's right.
They both start with D.
They do. And E.
It does not make them the same.
And end in T. The difference
is government has a lot of both.
The difference is fissy.
So there you go. Fissy.
Fissy. Hope you've learned something today, guys. And I hope you enjoyed this mini-cast-sode.
We'll have it figured out by next time.
We'll have it figured out by next time. Probably not. If you have any more questions you'd like us to answer, please reach out to us the normal channels, selfproclaimedintellectuals.com. There's a contact form there. There's an email form there. There's just comments that you can leave under each post.
Great pictures of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Your wife did great on that.
We're handsome.
Sometimes. With the right amount of Photoshop, we are.
Well, I was talking to her. That was the first time she had to negative Photoshop us.
She had to add blemishes?
Yeah, she had to use Photoshop to make it look less Because people wouldn't have believed that was really it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so.
But it is. I thought it
was computer generated. It was so perfect. Yep. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.